What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, just one question this week, and it comes via email from Derek in San Diego. Hi all, what horror movies were you most surprised that you liked upon first watch? Thanks, Derek. I'm sure a lot that Megan and Xena have assigned me over the years are ones I was surprised that I liked upon first watch. Nothing personal, none that specifically jump out, because there have been a lot. We watched a lot of movies.
Yeah, did you do that?
I mean, maybe like The Vigil is a good example of all of a sudden like not knowing what to expect and being like, oh my God, this is an awesome movie. But I think probably more than anything, it was X. I knew nothing about it going in. I'm sure Megan or Xena had mentioned that it was coming out or mentioned it in the news up until that point. And I, you know, it sat in the back of my head. And it was like, because there's so many movies, like, and I don't go to the theaters that much. And then one day my wife's like, hey, let's go to a movie. And I was like, that's not a thing we do, but okay, what do you want to see? And X had just come out. And I'm like, what's it about? It sounds familiar. And she's like, I don't know. It's like about, it's like a slasher movie about people filming a porn on a farm or whatever. I'm like, okay, let's go see it. And it's amazing if you've seen it, because we've talked about it many times before. Did we do the deep dive here, or was that a Patreon exclusive?
Patreon.
We might have to post that here at some point. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's just so many levels to the story itself. And it was one of those where, because we're talking about it afterwards, just being like, oh my God. And then there was like this part, and they were kind of like this. And like, normally I don't dissect horror that way when I watch it, but I did with X and really enjoyed doing it. And it really surprised me more than anything else, like what I had just seen. And Barbarian, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
Now that I've given three answers, how about you, Megan?
Barbarian was like probably the most recent, just because the marketing for that one was so generic and secret, you know, that I thought it was going to be like a run-of-the-mill horror movie, and it caught me off guard. But to not double up. The other one that came to mind was the lure, because I thought Polish mermaid musical is definitely a thing. And then I watched it and I was absolutely blown away. I love this movie with every fiber of my being. I'm a sucker for fairy tales in general of the horror variety, but I just, where they built that and where they ended it, it was just, yeah, I did the boo-hoo crybaby thing at the end of that. Like, that was so good. Cool. So, yeah.
I have a lot of those. Barbarian, yes, you know, but yeah. I'll just stick to just giving three, and I'll go with something a little bit more recent. For me, I'm going to say Smile, surprisingly. Like, I remember telling you guys, I skipped the trailer.
Yeah.
I came across some people tweeting about it, and they were like, it's so good. It, you know, you're going to be woo. And I was like, am I? You know? But I was, you know, whatever that was that I just said. Then another one, Wish Upon from 2017. I know it's marketed like it's a teen movie, like a teen horror, and it is. But it just has such a cool, like, mythological background going on, and it's just like, whoa, it's just very well layered. And I don't know, like, this, you find a box and you're just getting wishes, and I mean, who wouldn't want to, you know, you would try it just a little bit, you'd make a little wish, you know, here and there. And then the last one, I'm gonna go with Winchester. I didn't think that I would like the movie at all. Like, I remember watching the trailer, it wasn't because of the actors, like, it has like a really great cast, but I really, really enjoyed that one.
One of my major disappointments was the last time, I think maybe the only time I've been out to San Jose, didn't even realize the Winchester House was out there. And I totally had a day for work when I could have gone out and done it. And I didn't even put two and two together. That's where it was. That was in Texas for some reason. Don't know why. Maybe Winchester gun.
You're like Texas guns.
Yeah. That's kind of my assumption.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of unfounded assumptions, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone, the podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things in the horror world. And to help us discuss the disgusting, you know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hey.
And you know her from her YouTube channel and website Real Queen of Horror, Infant Love for the genre, Zena Dixon. Hey, Zena.
Hi.
Hi. And I'm John. If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to be quick on the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe it'll be things that'll make you smile too. So, Zena, what's been filling your heart this week?
The horror of Dolores Roach on Amazon.
I didn't even know they were turning this or adapting this until I saw the trailer. And I was like, oh, another podcast that got adapted that wasn't mine. It's a fantastic podcast, though. So, all credit to them.
I could not wait to see this one. I was really excited about it. So yeah, it's basically about this woman named Dolores Roach. She's released from prison after spending 16 years, 16, you know, in there. And then, you know, when she comes out, her life is completely different. She's staying with a friend in his basement. And, you know, she just wants to better her life. She wants to be a masseuse. And she's just, you know, trying to do better. Empanadas are involved. I'm not a fan of empanadas, so I wasn't really like, I'm not, you know, I like beef patties. They're like similar, but I don't know. There's just something about, I don't know.
You probably get more into Cuban food.
I don't know. I don't think I tried it. I don't think I tried Cuban food, but I tried it like empanadas like a couple of times, and people's like, no, you need the one with cilantro. And it's like, I don't
need
cilantro.
No, you don't.
But I think you need the guava and cheese one, the one that Dolores likes. Well, like, that one is amazing.
But yeah, so this is inspired by the popular Sweeney Todd musical. Again, this woman, she's fresh out of prison and she lives in Washington Heights, New York City. What's so weird is sometimes when I tell people, like, oh man, because, you know, I'm from New York, I'm from, even though, you know, New York is considered where I live upstate, but it's not, it's like right there. Okay. Whenever I tell people, like, oh, you know, when I see movies or shows like series like this, I'm like, oh, it reminds me of home. And then I realize how it sounds. Like, no, I'm not a drug dealer and I didn't know any drug dealers, but, you know, it's okay.
But like the street. Yeah.
Right. You know, so anyway, yes. Yeah, so again, this woman, she's just trying to put her life together. Just moving, you know, fast forward, you know, I don't want to spoil it, but if you've seen Sweeney Todd, I'm pretty sure that you know exactly what happens. At first, it starts off as an accident, you know, a little accident, kind of self-defense type of thing. And then, yeah, these empanadas just become a hit. So, yeah, point is, the reason why I mentioned the empanadas is because I would never have stopped by to eat them, so I wouldn't be a cannibal personally. So that makes me feel really good, you know. But over time,
what would be your Achilles heel for snacks that would turn you to cannibalism?
Honestly, either smoothies. And I know that sounds boring, but it's true, because I feel like wherever I go, I always have to try smoothies. Or I'm really into like noodles. Like there's this place around where I live, it's called Mr. Hot Pot. And it is such a good time. Okay, you make your own noodles. So yeah, that's how you could get
Mr. Hot Pot even sounds like a cannibal restaurant. It does. Possibly.
The ingredients are right there.
So. I don't think a meat smoothie will sell you, but like Hot Pot, Mr. Human Hot Pot, yeah.
Mr. Human.
We said it was bone broth. We didn't say where the bones were from.
All right, well,
it's femur.
I would rather not know, you know. but yeah, again, so once, you know, Dolores gets started, you know, with these murders, you know, she just pretty much becomes a serial killer. But, you know, it's due to her circumstances, but she's still a serial killer, okay? But this one is funny. I love the dialogue. I love the music. I love the pacing of it. You know, it's just bloody. It's fun. You know, I love like the guest appearances on the series, and it's super short. It was just such an easy watch. Like I literally finished it in a day because I'm an animal and I couldn't stop, you know? So yeah, if you want to check it out again, it's available on Amazon Prime. And then I checked out this series called Night Visions from 2001. It's available on YouTube. I remember watching it on cable. I think it used to be like on Sci-Fi. Anyway, it's an anthology series, and it's kind of similar to The Twilight Zone. There are some tales that are like supernatural. Some is just more like people were just terrible type of stories, you know. And there's like two different stories within one episode. So, but yeah, I had a really good time with it, rewatching it. One of my favorite episodes involves a dead body, voodoo, and a hole. That sounds so weird, but that's what that is. So yeah, it's available for free, you know, on YouTube if you want to check it out.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
How about you, Megan?
Oh, my day.
We'll just pretend there was a massive delay in the feed, and that's why it took me so long to say anything.
Dramatic. Yeah.
Like, whose turn is it next? Dun, dun, dun. Okay, I'll go. So I was in that phase of endless scrolling, like I'm in the mood for something I haven't seen before, but I don't know what that something is. And it wound up being The New Daughter, which I watched on Prime Video. I think it's available in a variety of things. That is the 2009 movie with Kevin Costner, where he is a single dad who moves his two children into a rural South Carolina, super nice farmhouse looking place. But his daughter is hitting that teen years. She's really angry about being uprooted. And oh, by the way, there's a hole and a giant mound in their backyard that kind of leads to her having some strange behavior. This is directed by Aliso Verdejo, who is one of the writers behind Record, however you want to say that, the Spanish found footage thriller that we all adore, and also Quarantine. And that probably explains why the teen daughter is the daughter from Pan's Labyrinth. Mm-hmm. So that's some nice crossover. I can't say that I absolutely adore this movie, because I do think, I don't know what it is, Kevin Costner has a very kind of sleepy acting style, and I don't really think he likes horror so much, because he's not really done a whole lot of horror, you know, like Dragonfly was the only other one I could think of, and that's not really either. There's a little bit of genre overlap there. This one's definitely horror, because there are some weird creature-y things in that mound that they don't really ever explain. They kind of look like mole people, but they keep making ant references.
I was going to say, are they ant people? I remember that movie. Are they like ant people?
I don't know, because they have weird hole mouths. Like, they're not ants.
I don't want to see it. I don't want to. I bet their hole mouths are weird.
They are weird. And they don't show you the creatures too often, which is also a good thing. It has, I don't know, it's this really interesting vibe where you can see where in 2009 they didn't really know what to do with it, because it is a bigger budget, like theatrical release that just they kind of hid and didn't really market. So that's why it's such a kind of undiscovered movie, because it didn't really get a proper release. And here we are now inundated with movies left and right. I feel like the closest thing I can compare it to is probably The Hallow, the Irish creature feature. It's very similar, but I feel like The Hallow does it a lot better. This one is more quiet and subdued, and more like, what does a single dad do when he's got a teen daughter going through hormonal adolescence? But they don't lean into that. Yeah, they don't really lean into it. They kind of get caught between, let's do this teen metaphor and let's do the creature feature, and both of them are a little bit underserved. It's still fascinating. It's still an interesting 2009 late, you know, kind of early 2010s horror. And it's kind of like, there's potential that I like. There's some atmospheric moments that I like, but it's overall, go watch The Hallow instead. And then for a movie that I have seen before, but it happened to be turning 35 and I just like it, Phantasm 2, which is not on streaming. I think you could probably rent it on VOD though. I have the Scream Factory Blu-ray, so that's where I watched it. This was 1988. And this one is one that kind of, I don't know, Zena, you're a Phantasm franchise fan. I don't know if you're, I know, like, when this first came out, because it was Universal and because they recast the actor who played Mike and they replaced him with James LaGrosse, I know that was a huge sticking point for Phantasm fans for a long time. Like, I don't know if consensus has changed on this one, or if people are still anti-Phantasm 2 because of that, and because, you know, the studio interference kind of meant Don Coscarelli couldn't go full dreamy with this one like he did with the original. But I really like it, and I really like it because I feel like the story is a little bit more coherent and less beholden to dream logic. Not that that's a bad thing, but the real reason I like it is because it is got that studio budget, and it does have a whole lot of special effects that they couldn't really do before. I guess a little bit after. I think that the rest of the series is scrappier, which is also fun, but I like all the goopy yellow blood and monster stuff and the kills. So as for plot, it's just more, it turns this more into a road trip movie, which I love road trip horror. So Mike is released from the psychiatric hospital after the events of the first movie, reteams with Reggie. Mike has a connection, dream connection to a woman, and then they're all trying to convene and stop the tall man. So I don't know. I really like it. I don't know if that's an unpopular opinion. That's my long-winded rant of getting at, but I really like it.
No, I'm right there with you. I know more people who don't like it. Like, they don't even consider it a part of the franchise. But
right?
That's like, it's a dream. But I just feel like it feels truly like, you know, like a 90s movie. It has that feel to it. And maybe because I would watch it a lot as a kid, because it would come on TV a lot.
Yeah.
You know? But I mean, I like it as well. So I think it fits the franchise personally.
Yeah, I think they all do. And then, you know, like that, they continue that motif and introduce Rocky in part 3, which
is so awesome.
So two has, but I do think I'm with you. Like, I watched this one more as a kid. That was probably the one I got introduced to. And then I went back and watched the first one. So that could factor into it. I don't know. But yeah.
I just think it's funny that there are people out there who would have the pure hubris and audacity and ego to say, I don't consider this a part of the franchise.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I mean, I get loyalty because this was one that forced Don, you know, I'd read something and I'm trying to remember where Don Coscarelli like was approached to do the sequel. He'd never really done a sequel. He didn't know what to do for a sequel. And then from then on, it was just kind of probably an unpleasant experience for him because now Universal's involved and now he doesn't have the full creative control over his own franchise anymore. At least for the sequel, I think that clearly changed for part three on. And then, you know, the actors forced to be recast. Like, so two of the first, there's like three main actors in the franchise, right? And two of them were not allowed to be part of it. And one of them was recast with somebody who was more commercial. You know, Brad Pitt actually auditioned to play Mike. I don't know what his audition was like to you know, lose out to James LeGros there. But yeah, so yeah. I can understand why it's a little bit of a controversial entry in the franchise. Mm-hmm. It doesn't affect me, and maybe that's an unpopular opinion, but I like it.
It's like, I kind of feel that way. Like, I understand where the person's coming from, but then at the same time, it's just kind of like, does that help you sleep better at night? You know, I don't really think it matters.
Because, yeah, especially not now.
Yeah, because like, I know, like, when it comes to Night of the Demons, I know the one, like, that remake, that one. I'm not fair. A fan. Like, I love part one, love part two. Part three is cool, but then that other one, it's just, I kind of just ignore it. Like, if I'm ever doing like a marathon type of thing, it's just not. Yeah. So
fair.
I can't imagine that anyone has listened to this show recently or over the course of the last 160 whatever, however many episodes, just heard you say you like Phantasm 2 and is like, well, I disagree. That's just wrong, when we have literally only talked about things that we like and support for the last 3 years. I have to imagine people will be like, yeah, I don't like it. And then move on, because that's just an easier way to live.
Yeah.
Speaking of easy ways to live, I watched Paramount Plus to play catch up and started with 2022's Men, which was not easy. A young woman goes on a solo vacation to the English countryside following the death of her ex-husband. That was the only synopsis IMDb gave, so I had to add something else. Come on. Only to find that the getaway she needed would lead her into a twisted nightmare. See, that just feels like it's got something more to it. And it's mildly accurate. So I really loved like 90% of this movie.
Uh-oh.
You know how there's movies that are metaphors that are metaphors like under layers?
Yeah.
This is not one of those.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this one literally tells you what it, well, not literally, but pretty much tells you what it is. And it the ending, because I'm not going to spoil it for anyone. Again, anyone who has Paramount Plus now has access to Showtime, so you have access to all kinds of more horror content, or all kinds of horror content out there, like Men, like what I'm about to talk about next. But this one, again, no spoilers. It's more that I liked so much until the end that it was just one of those things where it was like, oh, okay. Like, I wasn't mad. I didn't think they ruined it. Obviously, the movie is exactly, or I assume the movie is what they set it out to be. That it wasn't suddenly like they did a focus group and like, but how about we do this ending that involves a lot of visual stuff for a bit. Beyond that, beyond it just kind of be like, oh, okay, that's the ending. I did really like the movie. Like, Rory Kinnear, who basically plays the male, the one of, I think, only two different males. I don't even know if there's another actor in, or male actor in it. It is fantastic. Like, what he has to do, like, as far as, like, the range. And yes, there's some CGI in, like, certain situations. But just generally speaking, more or less putting on a one-man show. And just the different portrayals and the different levels of emotion and everything, I thought was fantastic. I don't even want to talk about the overall, like, the undertones or anything like that. I thought all the performances were really strong. There's some really brutal stuff in it that's just kind of like, oh, wow, all right, this is way harsher than I thought this was going to be. But there's some great scares. There's some great tension. It's some of it in broad daylight. The night stuff is really great too, though. It was just one of those movies where I was like, all right. Like, I'll still give it another watch. I still liked it. I still think it's a really good film. It's just, it's a perfect example of when if you go too long without answers, I think it's hard to provide an answer to the audience that feels satisfying a lot of the time. Like, if you don't get more hints along the way, maybe there were a ton of hints that I did not pick up on because I'm dumb. That's a real strong possibility, I'm told. But I think, just generally speaking, it was like, because he didn't really know what was going on till the very, very end, that it kind of got to the point where I couldn't stop but wonder what was going on instead of just enjoying the ride. And then, it was fine. So I'd still say go check it out. I liked it. I mean, I'm assuming at least Megan has seen this.
I mean, I've seen it. It's just that I think it's a good movie too, but it did stress me out. Like, I was stressed while watching it and frustrated, but it's a good movie, like, to experience.
If you like suspense, you're going to get plenty of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So go check it out. And then I watched, finally, I don't know why it took me so long, but I finally watched 2022's Pearl, also available on Paramount Plus. In 1918, a young woman on the brink of madness pursues stardom in a desperate attempt to escape the drudgery, isolation, and lovelessness of life on her parents' farm. See, good for you, synopsis. That's whoever wrote the men's synopsis. Come on, do that one. It's the Mia Goth show. Like, if I don't know, did Pearl miss awards show season, or is it eligible for the next one?
It was last year. So
the fact that Mia Goth wasn't nominated, the Academy can go F itself. Are you freaking kidding me? Like, between one of the longest monologues, one take monologues I've seen in I don't know how long, to literally the last seconds of the film, like the range both from Ty West in creating what's ostensibly a modern take on a movie from the 1940s, like kind of mishmashed, it was really good. I mean, for me, it was really about Mia Goth's performance, because it did not have the same feeling of linear storytelling that X did to me. It felt a little bit more like, what's going to happen? Like, what's going to happen? Whereas X was a slasher movie, right? Like, it kind of, yes, there was other things, but like the it felt like more of a straight line to follow. In this, I was kind of like, oh God, like, what do I think of her? Like my opinions of her kept changing, and the characters around her kept changing. So like, it was crafted just a little bit more stylistically. Which I think I just wasn't expecting, but ultimately really liked too. And when it was over, my wife said, so they're going to make another one of these, right? In between Pearl and between Pearl and X. I said, yeah, Maxine happens after X. She goes, there's a lot going on between Pearl and X that they could dive into. I'm like, yeah, they probably could build out that universe over the decades.
I would like to see it.
I kind of like that it's a jump, because you pretty much see how she was in Pearl, and then you understand who she is in X. So now it's time to go back to, you know, Maxine.
I mean, she sustained a lot for 60 years in the time between Pearl and X. Like, I feel like, was she just like literally kept on the farm that entire time? I don't want to spoil anything. See, I was just about to start going down a rabbit hole of stuff that happened. But go watch Pearl. If you don't have Paramount Plus, go buy it on VOD. It's great. I can't wait to see Maxine now. Like, to see how the just the filmmaking styles changed so much between X and Pearl. Like, I want to see what Maxine's going to be. I hope it's kind of like a sleazy 80s type, like New York Times Square feel. It'll be awesome.
I like that you know absolutely nothing. You do not keep up on the news.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. Definitely don't listen to me when I talk about the news.
Oh, we absolutely do, but it keeps overwriting itself like a VHS tape that you keep recording on. I cannot keep up on all of it. Next week, I will have no idea we talked about Bird Box Barcelona.
I mean, it preserves your viewing experience, so good on you.
I'm like a newborn every day.
Yeah. You're so hopeful for stuff that we already know. I love it.
At the same time, we hit stop and said, this guy is so dumb. How?
No.
How? 3 years of my life.
You just are in a different bubble. And then there's a lot of news. I'm in my bubble. Yeah, there's
so much
news.
Yeah, that's true. The news is your world. I avoid the news at all costs.
Yeah. So, you know, we have different strengths. I just get to smile at you for your wishes and knowing which ones will come true.
So every time Megan smiles on the podcast, it's literally because I'm dumb.
No. That's a terrible.
You've been smiling a lot today. Don't lie.
You're so self-deprecating. We should just start calling you the Conan O'Brien of horror here.
Yeah, we are equal. Me and Conan, we're like, we are on the exact same path, me and him. Okay, before we move on, what did we watch and how did we watch it?
I checked out the horror of Dolores Roach on Prime and Night Visions on YouTube.
I am determined to see how a guava and cheese empanada fares with Zita.
I'm going to find one and I'll report back.
Okay, maybe they look better. that was a derail. But I watched The New Daughter on Prime Video and Phantasm on Blu-ray.
And I watched 2022's Men on Paramount Plus, as well as 2022's Pearl, also on Paramount Plus. And I'm super bummed that I missed a live reading from Paul Tremblay this last weekend.
Oh, no.
He was in town on a book tour, and I was like, I wanted to go see him. And then, you know, I have kids, so.
I'm so sorry. He'll be back. He's still writing books.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic. I'm not mad at them. They're my excuse to stay at home. And not meet people in public. That convention in a couple of weeks is going to be tough.
You can do it.
This. Yeah, we believe.
Hey, everyone. So here's the thing. Something happened. Not sure what. Probably just some sort of curse. But the second half of the audio didn't record for us. More specifically, it didn't record for me. So instead of posting 20 minutes of audio that has Zena and Megan occasionally reacting to silence, we figured we'd just run what we had and get back to the normal thing next week. I'm also sorry to say that it was the finest audio ever recorded. And no one will ever know. Bummer. So, until next week, grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure it's something bloody. Man, it's weird doing that alone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.